Hey, Margot, did you know that sparkling vampires was a thing before Twilight?
What?
Yeah, so if you watch The Lost Boys, 1980s vampire horror movie,
okay.
When the vampires die, their blood is sparkly.
Oh.
Stephanie Myers denied ever watching this movie, but I thought that was a fun little fact.
That is a fun fact.
And welcome to Nightmare Echoes Podcast. I'm your host, Elazar, and I'm joined again by co-host Margo. Margo, how's it going?
Hello, it's going good.
So we wanted to drop a special episode for April 1st, and we brainstormed a little bit, and it finally came across the idea that let's do a great vampire movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
really scary.
Something super with scary. A little sparkle, you know? So we're going to cover the 2008 film Twilight.
Ooh.
Starring, I'm going to blank here now. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. It's Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart.
And Kristen Stewart, obviously. Yeah. It had a budget of $37 million, but made $408.4 million in the box office.
Yeah.
So people went to see it.
Oh yeah.
So,
I mean, I think this book was like popular already, right?
Oh, completely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the book was so popular that they were like, let's rush out a movie.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, no. And then it was long, too. A runtime of 2 hours and 1 minute.
Yeah, for a book and movie that almost nothing happens in it. I mean, not in a bad way per se, but...
There's a lot of voiceover in it.
Yeah, there is.
I was like, oh my gosh, what that. Is with the voiceover? Yeah.
Well, so, yeah. I mean, how do you do a movie where the whole book is first-person perspective? You got to have a voiceover.
Sure. And from the other perspective where they can't... you know, Edward can't read Bella's mind at all. We get to know everything she's thinking
right.
all the time.
Right.
Which I think is funny. So we start with a quote with this voiceover of, I've never given much thought to how I would die, but dying in a place of someone I love seemed like a good way to go.
But wait, I wrote this down because this was funny. She sure. immediately starts saying, so I'm going to leave Phoenix. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So you're equating leaving Phoenix to dying.
Yeah, right. That's what it seems like at the beginning.
Bookend to the yeah. end. It's like a foreshadowing of the end of the movie. But
exactly,
the
exactly.
way that it's said is like, oh, you gotta die from the one you love. So I'm moving out of Phoenix to Forks to go live with my dad. I'm like, okay,
right.
girl, that's not that bad.
That's not dying. That is funny. And then the music playing in this transition is Full Moon by Black Ghost.
I wrote that down too.
Yeah.
Wait, did I write that one? Yes, I wrote that one too because this sets the tone for the movie.
There's a lot of good songs in this movie, although yes. I would say the third movie has my favorite soundtrack.
Okay.
But I do
think
like
I liked
this.
All of them. I don't sure. remember necessarily what's in each soundtrack. I did
oh, yeah.
look up this one because I was like, oh yeah, there's a lot of really good songs
there is.
In the soundtrack. And I think they did like an am I wrong about this? That they did like an accompanying soundtrack or were the songs
yeah, each
all
movie,
in the
no,
movie,
each,
right?
I yeah. think so. I think they added songs to the soundtrack.
Right. Yeah.
For each movie, but
yeah.
there were a lot of songs featured in all the movies.
Yeah.
They were good.
They were good, yeah.
All right, so yeah, we get Bella here. She's 17 years old, and she's leaving Phoenix, Arizona to go move to Forks with her father, Charlie, who is the chief of police. And he's normally a loner who just kind of likes to drink all the time.
He has friends.
Okay, yeah, I guess he has friends. That's true. Billy Black is his friend.
Yeah.
And there's that one other guy that, what is that guy?
Harry? But he's not in the movie at all.
No. There's the one guy that was dressed as Santa that one year.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
It's apparently. Well, because yeah. Dr. Colin says that's Charlie's friend.
Okay. Sure.
Like, so anyway.
I mean, it's like, okay, we'll continue because they're sure. about to say how many people live in this town.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is that number?
Whoa, keep going. I guess that's it. Oh, no. I mean, this deer scene. This is like a classic Twilight deer scene where you just have a deer at like a pond in like the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then it like something's attacking the deer. Like, I guess that's scary.
Sure.
Very scary. And that's why this is a horror movie.
Okay. Got it.
But it really sets the tone for the whole movie. And I think this sets the tone for like the whole series.
Sure.
In my opinion.
So her mother, Renee, played by, I should know this.
I have no idea.
Sarah Clark. I loved her in 24.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she was really great in 24. She was also in Bosch.
Oh, my favorite.
Which I never shut up about.
My fave show. I love Bosch.
You're
so
not
much.
Being serious, but I am. Anyway, she's now remarried to Phil, who's a minor league baseball player, and his career's keeping him on the road, and they're thinking that he's doing well enough that they might get to move somewhere permanent. Mm-hmm. When Bella gets in Two Forks, she's picked up by Charlie, and their first conversation is about her hair.
Yeah, they're very awkward.
It's very awkward. Like, they don't have much that they talk over.
Did you already know, but, mentioned that he's the police chief of the town?
Yeah.
And but this is where we see the pop... Or does she comment, or there's a sign? I don't remember.
I think there's a sign.
It's a population of 3,120 people, okay?
Yeah.
This is going to come into play later, because that's a very small town,
it
right?
It is a small town.
All right. Continue. Sure. All right. And I would believe that the real Forks only have that many people. It's like a drive-through town. I've driven through it before.
Well, I think the tourism now brings their numbers way up, because people visit this for the tour.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not like for a the cute sights. Town.
I'll I know.
Say. Well, maybe it is now. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe. In her voiceover, we learned that she used to spend 2 weeks there every summer, but it's been years. Mm-hmm. When we get to the house, we establish that there's only one bathroom in this two-story house.
Yeah.
But the dad is trying. Charlie's bought her new bed sheets that are purple, uh-huh, and a new lamp. But if you look at that room throughout the movie, she's got like eight lamps.
She's got a lot of stuff
like
in
string,
that room, right?
Like string lights. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff
like
in that room.
Like, why is she accumulating so much stuff in that room for not being there?
Like, every year she went there, she must have got two new lamps.
That's a good question.
Like,
I don't know.
Outside, Bella gets reacquainted with Jacob as him and his father, Billy Black, pull up.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Lautner.
Yeah,
Jacob.
Taylor Please Lautner.
Jacob. He's not in this movie that much.
Yeah, and it's funny because from the transformation of his, like, he did for his body to go from one to two, uh-huh, like, he wasn't very muscular in this one.
No.
And then in part two, he had muscles like crazy.
I guess it fits the storyline.
It does. Also, they were, you know, wanted to recast him. He had to prove, mm-hmm, that he could build the muscle
short.
Strength. Yeah.
I don't remember how tall Taylor Lautner is, but he's short. So, like, they're like, no, we want some big buff dude. And, like, it's a point in the books that Jacob is, like, over 6 feet tall.
Sure.
You have this shorty guy. But whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I don't know. The people they did recast did annoy me throughout the series.
I don't even remember who it was. Oh, but I wanted to point out that something really funny that I laughed at every single time,
sure,
is that Bella calls her dad Charlie for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, why?
I call my dad Rick.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, because I worked for him.
She doesn't work for him.
And my supervisor, yeah, that's true. But my supervisor at the time told me that I wasn't allowed to call him dad.
Oh,
so
well,
I had to call him.
Fine.
But that's why, for
but
me.
But no supervisor told Bella she has
yeah,
her dad, Charlie. College.
It is weird.
It doesn't
weird.
Seem to bother him.
It doesn't seem to bother him.
They're awkward as hell.
Yeah. So he's been a nice guy. He bought her a brand new truck off of Billy Black. And she has this like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many times she had to do this scene, because it's like, all right, Bella, a little bit more enthusiasm. I need you to fake it. I need you to make you believe that you want this truck.
Yeah.
It was a little hard of like the, I don't know, the enthusiasm didn't seem genuine.
I mean, I don't believe that Kristen Stewart is enthusiastic about anything.
Yeah, I know. It's a characteristic of her acting. And then Jacob gets in the car to show her that she has to like double clutch when she shifts gears. Mm-hmm. And Billy's like, I told you, I'm cool. I'm down with the kids.
Yeah.
And
Charlie's
like,
the dads in this movie.
Yeah.
All the dads.
Charlie's like, yeah, you're the bomb.
They're really good dads.
They are. I like them. And then Bella asks if Jacob wants to ride to school. And Jacob tells her that he goes to school on the reservation. And she's disappointed because she would have liked to have known one person for the first day of school.
Right. They say this later, but they're part of the Quilutes? What? How do you say it? Well, oopsies.
Quilutes?
Cool. Oh, crap.
I mean, yeah, it's,
whatever.
I wrote it down in the beach scene.
Wait.
It's in the beach scene.
Whatever, let's not mention
it. We'll get there. No. We'll get there. All right. And her first day of school, everybody's looking at her right away. You know, Tyler, she drives up and Tyler's like, nice ride. And she can't tell if it's a joke or not. And the girl next to him is like, good one. Like, I guess that was a joke. I don't know.
Who knows? I really liked all the interactions with the
oh
teenagers.
Oh my gosh, yes.
They were having a different movie going on.
Shoot, yeah, they were.
And I loved it. I was there for every second of their little movie that they had.
Every boy in this school is instantly like, oh my gosh, new girl.
So on one hand, you're like, okay, this is definitely like what is that trope? Mary Sue trope that like there's one girl who everybody is in love with, okay?
Sure.
But on the other hand, you take this town and it has, you probably met every single girl by now. And there's like a new girl who's attractive. I don't know. I think maybe it's pretty realistic that
sure. Although for me, I also think Anna Kendrick is very beautiful.
100%.
So the fact that Mike is like, oh, I got to be with Jessica.
I agree with that.
Like, okay, whatever.
So this is the point. I'm like, how many people live in this town? Because the high school seems packed.
Yeah, I mean, well, they could bus in people from a neighboring town to like fill this high school.
I don't think that's what's happening. But maybe. Yeah, could be. It's also an extremely diverse town. Very diverse.
Yet the only class they ever have is biology.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, no, they have gym.
That's true. But the other thing is, okay, we can. I'll mention it when we get to it. Yeah. Oh, shit. You're right. That's a good idea. My sister's going to be texting me about this pizza all night long.
She's making pizza? Look at this pizza. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's homemade. Pizza oven. Anyway, okay. So go ahead.
No, you're good. Okay. So when she gets there, Eric shows up, who's the news editor. He's like, hey, you're Bella, right? You're new to school? Anything you need? A tour guide, lunch date, a shoulder to cry on. And she's like, oh, I'm more the suffering in silence type. Yeah. And he goes, oh, that's a great title for the full page article we're going to do on you for the school paper. She's like.
Yeah, it's so funny because Bella says these like one liners that are pretty funny, but she like says it in such an awkward way.
Yeah.
And you learn where her dad, where she gets her awkwardness from her dad, because she is also very awkward in every single interaction she has. Is this Kristen Stewart's like innate awkward essence coming through, or is this how she like chose to play Bella? I don't know. But she's like extremely weird in every single interaction she has with everybody, in my opinion.
Right. So she convinces him to not do the newspaper article. Then we cut to gym class. As soon as the ball gets near Bella, she slaps it away instead of hitting it upward. And it hits Mike Newton back of the head, which apparently was the best thing to ever happen to Mike Newton. Because he gets all excited and starts talking to Bella, which means that Jessica is going to run over as fast as she can to stop this conversation.
I mean, also you miss a very important part, which is Bella is klutzy. Did you get this?
Yeah.
Did you get this yet? Because she's very klutzy.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think I wrote it in my notes more when she falls.
She already had a fall, or no, she almost hits Jacob with the car door or something, and now she hits Mike with the ball.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Okay,
and then,
but anyway, go ahead.
Well, my favorite line from this is when Jessica's like, hey, you're from Arizona, right? Uh-huh. Aren't people from Arizona supposed to be like really tan? Mm-hmm. And she goes, yeah, maybe that's why they kicked me out.
It was like another really funny line.
There are a lot of good funny lines.
It was like so weird.
Yeah, but both Mike and Jessica.
They have like an awkward laugh at it.
And at lunch, Mike runs to pull the chair out for Bella, and Mike tries to give Bella a burrito, and then Eric claims that Bella's his homegirl, and they go way back because he met her that morning. You could see in the scene, like, Jessica's looking worried that Mike is so into Bella. Mm-hmm. And then Tyler runs up, and when Mike's going, oh, your girl. Tyler runs up, gives Bella a kiss on the cheek, pulls Mike's chair out from under him to embarrass him, and then runs off. And this is where Jessica's like, oh my God, it's like first grade all over again, and you're the shiny new toy.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick is so funny in this movie.
She is funny.
She's having like her own offshoot like teen movie going on whole time, and she's like rocking it. She's killing it.
I mean, she holds that character throughout all the movies.
She's really
because in the wedding scene in the fourth one,
I agree.
You know, she's like, she's pregnant. She's got to be pregnant. She's got to be pregnant. Oh, spoilers for all the movies, by the way. Like, obviously, like, oh man. Angela, who's the photographer, comes up, takes a picture with Bella, and kind of like shocks her. She doesn't know it's coming, and she's like, I need it for the article. And Eric gets really mad at her right off of a sudden. She's like, the article's dead, Angela. Leave it alone. Like, he's very, like, I don't know, stern about it. Mm-hmm. Like, he probably even didn't even tell her yet. And then she looks disappointed as well, because we find out later that she's also likes Eric.
Yeah.
And for him to be scolding her like that,
yeah,
I don't know, just kind of rude.
Yeah, Angela's like the nice friend.
She is, completely. And then Bella gives them some suggestions for the paper since that story's canceled. She says either cover eating disorders or speedo padding on the swim team. And then both Jessica and Angela know the guy that Bella doesn't know that it exists that is doing this on the swim team.
Yeah.
But you're right. A school is way too big. It has a swim team in this small little town.
Yeah. This is a point I want to make, because now who makes an entrance? Their grand entrance.
The Collins.
Oh, the Collins. They walk in, they swag on in, like they own this school, which is so funny to me because they repeatedly in the movie say how they're in hiding.
Yes.
Like, are you in hiding?
Right.
They like swan in, like they stagger on in.
Everybody knows who they are.
Yeah, everybody in the whole school, probably in the whole town. I mean, not probably, 100% sure. Know who they are. They're like wearing these like white outfits. All of them are wearing like white outfits, like they're in a band or something. And I'm like, wait, why are they so high profile? If they're trying to, quote, hide, they're very high profile.
Right.
The other thing is, this is the first time that Bella has seen them. Okay. This is how many people could possibly be in this high school of a town of 3,000?
I don't know, but you're right.
That many. I mean, my high school was, I went to school in like a Dallas suburb. My high school was 600 people.
Sure.
Okay. So how many, I don't know how many people are in Dallas. But I mean a lot.
Yeah.
And so you're taking, so like, let's say there's like 50 people in their like graduating class, which that's probably too big.
Yeah.
I'm like, you would already have run into every single person in this high school, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. And Alice and Edward are in her grade. So she would have already had every single class with them.
Right.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
This is the first time she sees them.
Sure. And then I love Jessica's description of all of them. Mm-hmm, she says, first, they're all adopted, yet they're all together.
Yeah.
Like, it's scandalous. Yeah, Rosalie, scandalous. The blonde one, uh-huh. Is with the bigger dark-haired guy, Emmett. Mm-hmm. Alice, the little dark-haired girl, is with Jasper. He's the one that looks like he's in pain.
Jasper always has the weirdest looks on his face this whole movie.
In this one. Yeah, he does. And they explain it later. They say he's the newest vegetarian.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is funny. Some people think that is a mistake because later we find out how old he is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, he's not young. He's just the newest one to stop eating humans.
Right, right.
Which, you know, that's a definitely big distinction there.
Yeah.
They talk about how Dr. Cullen is like a foster dad / match maker. And Angela's like, maybe he'll adopt me. And then Edward, for some reason, walks in later than all the rest of them.
Yeah, he's got to make his grand entrance.
That's what it is. Jessica's like, no one here is good enough for him, so don't even bother. Like, you know, like I care anyway. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of funny. And Bella's like, oh, I wasn't planning on it. Mm-hmm. We get to biology class.
Mm-hmm. I think when he makes his entry, is he already like staring Bella down? Or no, I guess he's
maybe
just,
when
like,
he gets to
over.
The table.
Maybe they're just sussing her out. Cause she's
maybe. But I think he's just glancing over. But I think what really sets in is when she walks. So they live in the coldest, wettest place in the country. Yet when you get to biology class, there's this fan blowing at, you know, to keep the room cool enough.
I guess.
So she walks right in front of it as it's blowing towards Edward. Uh-huh. And that makes her scent.
Uh-huh. Yeah, travel Edward.
Right. And then he has to like, he clenches up, he closes his nose, and we find out that
it looks like he's about to sneeze. Yeah. He's covering his face.
And then she's sitting next to him and he like kind of pushes her part of the assignment.
He like gives her like a really mean look, like he's pissed at her. Like he's really pissed at her.
The moment the bell rings.
Oh, wait. I think the really funny part, I don't even know if this happened in the books or just in movies, is that Bella like sniffs herself.
Oh, I missed it. Like, I missed it.
Stink?
That's funny.
It was pretty funny.
So the moment the bell rings, he's standing already.
He races out.
Like unhumanly fast. Like, he was so fast. He runs out of there and she follows him to the guidance counselor's office because he's trying to switch classes, and the response of the guidance counselor makes it really obvious that he was trying to get out of her class.
How's he getting out of it?
Yeah, like that's what she's saying. There's other classes. There's no room.
This is the funny thing is to me too, is that he could just always skip biology, right?
Yeah.
Like he doesn't need a degree.
He doesn't need a degree.
Just fail biology, Edward.
Yeah, that's funny.
I guess he's a roll faller. He's got to get out of it. He's got to get permission.
He is. Not only that, he knows all the subject matter to the point where it's boring.
Yeah.
Because he's done it over and over again.
Yeah. So he could just show up for tests.
This is true.
So anyway, whatever.
Like, all right. So after school, Bella's having lunch with Charlie. And this is where Charlie's friend comes over to say hi. He played Santa 1 year, but she hadn't been around since she was 6. His name's Waylon.
Okay, sure. I don't remember his name.
Right. Well, he goes, I bet I made an impression, though. The waitress goes, yeah, butt crack Santa. Like, it's so horrible. I know. I think it's awesome.
She's a local celebrity. Everybody knows who Bella is.
Sure.
And she does not like it.
Oh, no, she doesn't like attention at all.
This reminds me of when I was in pharmacy school and I would go because it was like a small town. I mean, it was like a small town. All that was there was the college.
Yeah.
And every time I went to Walmart, I would run into somebody from school and I absolutely hated it. So I really felt Bella's pain here because I'm
That's
like,
funny. I'm the opposite.
Stop talking to me.
I got so excited. I met somebody that I hadn't seen in decades since I was a teenager and they remembered my name. And the moment they said my name, I remembered their name.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh, this is so cool.
Oh, that's my nightmare. I don't want to run into any. I would duck into other aisles, be like, oh no, I don't want to interact with them.
So then we have a scene where Bella's talking to her mom. She's lost her charger. Mm-hmm. So, or she said the charger ran away.
Yeah.
So she's on a payphone. And she's saying the spring training is going well and they might get to move to Florida permanently.
Yeah. You just see that Bella has a natural, like, close relationship with her mom, unlike her dad. So sure. It's not how she is with everybody, I guess, just to kind of show that
right
her internally are,
and then we see this
extra awkward
kind of montage where Bella's waiting for Edward and he disappears for a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Eyes on Fire by Blue Foundation plays. Mm-hmm. While this week is happening,
yeah, they drive up in a giant Jeep and Emmett is standing on top of it because they're really keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
Super low profile. I think their Jeep was white, so they're wearing all white, coming up in their giant white Jeep. Yeah.
Whatever doesn't attract sunlight, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we get a scene where a construction worker is being chased by three people who pin him down, and the scene blurs so we can't see what's happening to him. But we know, you know, it's a vampire film. He's getting eaten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, this is where...
She falls down.
Again, I guess. She says that the ice isn't really great for the uncoordinated.
Uh-huh.
And we find out that Charlie bought her some new tires because he knows that she's uncoordinated.
This Bella is klutzy.
Yeah, I get it.
She's so klutzy.
And then this is where Charlie tells her that someone was killed by a wild animal.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, yeah, you're not in Jacksonville anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You got to worry about wild animals. And then we get a scene where Eric is trying to ask out Bella.
Yeah, she gets asked out by, I think, almost every single person.
But Mike comes and dumps water all over him. Uh-huh. In their biology class. And Eric's like, good one. And we see that Edward's back. And this time he wants to talk to her.
Yeah, it's like a complete transformation. Yeah, he's like being friendly now.
Yeah, but still awkward.
Yeah.
He wants to talk to her about the weather.
Is he being awkward or is she being awkward?
Okay.
I don't think he's being that awkward. I think it's just Bella's natural awkwardness coming through.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he wants to talk about the weather, but she doesn't. Well, she says she doesn't like it. Yeah.
He's like making small talk, brushing it off, and she's like, oh no, I'm not having any of this.
Yeah. She doesn't like anywhere cold and wet. And he was like, well, why'd you move to the wettest place in the continental U.S.? She said that, you know, she had to move because her mom remarried. And he's like, did you not like the guy? Some of this conversation happens outside of the class. He's just trying to figure her out. And then she points out, hey, are you wearing contacts? Your eyes used to be black, but now they're kind of brown.
Yeah.
And
he runs off again.
He runs off, yeah.
This whole time when they're in chemistry class, too, he is still staring at her.
Yeah.
I'm like, Edward, chill. Chill, yeah. Dude. You're kind of real creepy. But I guess she doesn't notice that he's like staring at her the whole time.
Maybe when you're that attractive, you can be a little creepy.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think I would call it out. I'd be like, why are you looking at me?
I mean,
I think I would call out a lot of behaviors that Bella seems A-okay with. So.
That's true. I don't know. I'm more attracted to Emmett if I,
uh-huh.
if I got to pick a
uh-huh,
guy.
And, uh-huh. I don't know.
That's funny. So after school, Bella's one side of the parking lot, Edward's on the other side of the parking lot. We see...
Oh, wait. There was one part. We didn't miss anything. But when they walk out, before she comments on his eyes and he runs off,
she's
carrying a gold onion. Did you notice this?
Yeah, you don't know what it is?
Okay, this must be something in the book. But this is not explained.
It is explained in the movie.
What?
Yeah, the teacher said it. So the teacher goes, all right, you got your projects in front of you, and whoever finishes first and gets them all correctly gets the golden onion.
Oh my gosh, I completely missed that.
The teacher totally said it.
I've seen this movie more than once, and I have always been like, why the F is she carrying an onion at the end?
They were so good because she knew it and he knew it.
This is a part where you're showing that Bella is smart.
That's true. Yeah.
She's klutzy. Yes. She's smart.
Man, she's smart. Yeah. So they both, they establish, they both know.
She doesn't seem that smart, just saying, but okay.
Well, they both know the answers in biology, so they're able to finish the project. And Earl holding the golden onion is showing that they finished the project all first. Right,
sure. Okay.
Okay. All right. So now after school.
Well, that's really a mystery solved for me, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. I mean, if this podcast can answer people's questions, then, you know, we're doing a great job. All right, so Edward's on one side of the parking lot. Bella's on one side of the parking lot. Tyler drives up in his van. Someone starts to back out, and so he tries to go out of the way, and then he gets into a skid.
Mm-hmm.
Edward shows up right next to her and holds the van away with his just one stretched out hand.
Like, stops the van.
Stops the van. One hand. One hand. They like still crash into her truck a little bit, but her life is saved. And then the entire town descends next to her.
Yes.
Don't worry, I got 911. Oh my gosh, someone hit.
But almost Edward hits hops me. On out.
Almost hits, yeah, he's gone.
I would just say that Bella just seems like, I just like the nonchalance of just Edward just hops on out.
Yes.
Like, oh. Bye.
Yeah. Also, Tremble for My Beloved by Collective Soul plays.
Great song.
Did in the Another sea. Great song. Yeah. Okay. So at the hospital now, Tyler, who is driving the van, keeps trying to apologize as Charlie comes in. Charlie tells him, you can kiss.
I want to say this, that again, just like all the Cullens, Carlo has a very grand entry. He like swags in.
Yeah.
Like, hello, I'm Dr. Carlisle. They're
obviously all so pale.
But even if they're not pale, I'm just like, they're having such dramatic entry. Like, he doesn't do a normal doctor, like, knock, knock, hey.
He's prestigious. Dr. The whole town knows who he is. He's the town doctor.
I'm Dr. Carl. I'm like, dang, okay. Yep, you're really right. Keeping it low key, guys. Oh, really good, a great job.
And they're hiding in the open.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Charlie tells Tyler, you kiss your license goodbye. Bella keeps trying to defend him. Bella makes the comment that it would have been a lot worse if Edward wasn't there.
Yeah, she's trying to fish for information.
Right.
Carl kind of just brushes it off.
He's like,
you're lucky.
Yeah. And Charlie's like, oh, you're a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. And then we see outside the room, Charlie's like, hey, I gotta go sign some forms. You should probably call your mom. And Bella's like, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. She knows her mom's gonna be worried.
Yeah, completely. But then Bella gets to overhear Carlisle, Rosalie, and Edward all quietly arguing about his action to save Bella.
Yeah, why is Rosalie there? I mean, I know why she's there.
Yeah.
But why are you there, Rosalie? How are you explaining that? She just stopped by to talk to her dad? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're having a heated conversation.
Yeah, in whispers, though.
Yeah, when Carlisle takes her to his office or whatever.
Yeah. But Edward says that, what was I supposed to do? Let her die.
Yeah.
And then Bella speaks with Edward. She wants an explanation. And he claims that he was right next to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know,
she tries to gaslight her.
Yeah. Well, she's traumatized.
Yeah. He's like, I think you might have hit your head. I'm like, low blow, Edward.
Is that a low blow?
I mean, you're trying to think trying to make her think that she's like imagining things.
Okay. All right. I can see that. I can see that. She says, I know what I saw.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, no one's going to believe you.
Yeah.
So that part,
I have to say, he like abandons it real quick. He's like, okay, well, whatever. No one's believing you.
Right. Either. She's like, I don't want to tell anybody. I just want to know the truth. He says, you're not going to let this go, are you? She says, no. And he goes, well, I hope you enjoy disappointment.
Yeah, too bad. So sad.
We think we see that she's dreaming about him being in her room.
Well, she thinks she sees him in her room.
Right.
And she turns on the light and he's not there. So she assumes it's a dream.
Right, right.
Is it a dream?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think it is either.
Because later, like, she asks him, have you done this before? And he goes,
I know.
Only while you're sleeping.
Another creepazoid move by Edward. And
pretty creepy.
Does not turn off Bella at all.
At all, right?
Yeesh. This is a horror movie because it's about an obsessive, unhealthy relationship.
I've heard people say that this was the...
About stalking.
Was the movie that set the way for 50 Shades of Grey to happen.
50 Shades of Grey was a Twilight fan fiction. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, she just changed. It was like what if Edward was like a millionaire or kind of fan fiction. And she just changed like plot points. Yeah.
Wow, no idea.
Yep.
All right. So then we get the biology class. They're going on a field trip. Mike now is trying to ask Bella to the prom. She doesn't hear him at first. And he goes, what do you think about it? And she's like, well, about what? about going to the prom with me. And he goes, she's like, oh, I got to be out of town that day. You should go with Jessica. She really wants to go with you.
Yeah.
He looks at Jessica. She looks super worried until they make eye contact. And then she smiles and waves. Mm-hmm. We cut to the greenhouse where they're at.
Yeah, I guess they're going to a field trip to a greenhouse?
What's biology class?
Oh, I don't know. Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Well, the biology teacher's showing them the compost tea that he's making.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird...
Tyler grabs the cup and does not understand, but starts to drink it, and he's like, no, it's for the plants.
Yeah, I guess, like, okay, fine, for biology. I was like, it's a weird field trip, but sure. Okay.
Edward comes and asks what's in Jacksonville. She says, your mood swings are kind of killing me here.
Yeah. Does she question how he knows about? I think she does. Like, and he just brushes off the question. Does.
And he goes, you didn't answer my question. She goes, well, you never answer any of mine. He goes, oh, it's an adrenaline rush. I had an adrenaline rush. You can Google it. Oh, man. She says that Floridians are in Jacksonville. Yeah. People from Florida. Like, I had to Google that. I was like, what? Like, I was like, oh, duh. And then she falls again right in front of him.
She's klutzy.
Yeah. And he goes, can you at least watch where you're stepping? And then Edward apologizes, you know, that he just doesn't want to see her hurt. And that's where Jessica runs in, cutting off their conversation. She's so excited because Mike asked her to the prom. And she thought that Mike was going to ask Bella to the prom. And Jessica just wants to make it sure it's not awkward for Bella. And Bella's like, oh, no, zero awkwardness. Don't care. And outside, Edward tells Bella that they shouldn't be friends.
I love that. No, he like runs up to catch up with her. She's moved on. Yep. He runs up to catch up with her just to be like, we should not be friends. I'm like, she wasn't asking to be your friend, dude.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I didn't look at it that way. That's good. And then Alice walks over and asks Bella if she wants to join him. And I feel like Alice really genuinely was like, hey.
Yeah, she wants to be friends.
She wants to be friends with Bella, which is cool. And then Edward's like, no, our bus is full.
That was really funny. I thought that was hilarious. Like, there's only three of them on the bus. She's like, no, our bus is full.
Yeah, the Cullens like have their own bus. Like,
you missed a unhinged Bella moment.
Okay.
Which she basically says, you should have just let the bus hit me. And I'm like, Bella, like, just because a guy does not want to be friends with you does not mean he should let you die.
You're right. He goes, you think I regret saving you? And she's like, I can tell that you do.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Oh, you're right. Oh. So we get another scene at home where Charlie tells Bella that her mom called again. He says that, you know, she seems happy. Phil seems like a nice guy. And it's kind of an odd conversation.
Yeah. I think she like walks away in the like she's middle like, of the convo, like, no, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah,
bye.
Right. Exactly. Walks away. The next day at school, Bella gets invited to La Push. And she's like, it's La Push, baby. La Push.
I just want to say, back to Charlie. Like, okay, Charlie is so nice. I'm like, I understand that they wouldn't be super close, but I don't know. I guess she's not really mean to Charlie, but she like is uninterested in having any combos with
Later, she's mean.
Well, yeah, I'm on purpose. But I'm like, saying, like, she's kind of like, she brushes them. But I don't get the impression that she didn't see Charlie because of Charlie. I think if it was up to Charlie, they would have spent more time, right? Just she lives with her mom.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it too.
So it's so like, I don't know, but whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
He's
no,
so nice.
I think he does a lot for her. You know
who I would like to be with in this movie? Charlie.
Yeah.
He has a great job.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful dad.
He is.
He's super nice.
Sure.
He's too into sports for my liking, but that's okay, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys are.
Well, I'm just saying.
I get you.
Charlie's number one.
That's cool. So. No, you're good. She agrees to go to La Push if Eric will stop saying La Push. And he's like, what? It's the name of the place.
Yeah.
And then we get Edward coming up. She drops the apple. Mm-hmm. He uses his foot to like kick it back up and just gracefully catch it with his hands.
It's like supposed to be the book cover.
The book cover, right. Exactly.
Yeah, that was an unnatural move by Edward.
Oh my gosh.
Keeping it under wraps, under the DL, doing a weird...
I was like, did they rewind the footage to make it look so graceful?
I'm sure they did do that.
He says that he didn't mean that he didn't want to be friends, but that they just shouldn't be. And that if she was smart, she would stay away. And she says, well, if I wasn't smart, or let's just say I'm not smart, would you tell me your secret? And he goes, oh, probably not. And he goes, but he wants to hear her theories. And so these theories include radioactive spiders and kryptonite. And so he points that those are superhero things. But what if I'm a bad guy? I want to back up here, though. Radioactive spiders, yes, can cause a superhero. But kryptonite stops a superhero.
Right. That's right.
So why would kryptonite be powering him?
I really thought it was an interesting, I don't know, weird line read of Robert Pattinson's, because he's like, that's superheroes, right? I don't know. The way he said it is like he has no idea. Like, I think I've heard of superheroes before. Right. But but I'm not sure.
I mean, Superman's almost as old as he is.
Yeah, he came out in like 1928. Spider-Man and Superman is whatever.
Right.
But yeah, he's a bad guy.
Right, that's what he's saying. And she says, I know you're not. I know you're trying to put off that vibe that you're a bad guy, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny.
She has no evidence to this, except right. for him being like mean to her.
Yeah, I guess so. She takes this chance to invite him to the push as well.
And he thinks about coming until he finds out that it's at
Push. Where is it at? And he says, La Push. And she's like, is something wrong with that beach? And he goes, oh, it's a little crowded.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the beach. There's two people surfing and maybe like nine people on the beach.
Yeah. Again, I love the interactions with all the like quote unquote high schoolers. Yeah. It's so fun. They seem like kind of natural with each other, like very good. I love this movie that they're in that has nothing to do with Bella's movie, but I love it. I'm all in for it.
Sure. And then we're there. Angela is saying she keeps hoping Eric will ask her out. Bella tells her, hey, you're a strong, independent woman. You ask him out.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, am I a strong, independent woman? It's like, yes, you are. And then we get the reservation boys that come up. Bella asks Jacob if he is following her, and he reminds her that, hey, you're on my res.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is our land.
Mm-hmm.
Angela tells them that she's just sad her date didn't show up, and all the boys freak out. Like, date? What date?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though they already, like, at least Mike she's already
turned down, like, every single one of them.
I know. Right? You know, it's
but
just
she gave them. She did give them a answer, like, oh, I would, but
yeah,
I'm
busy. Yeah,
so
that's
maybe
true.
They still have a chance.
Right. This is where, like, I remember this detail in the book that mm-hmm. Mike shows up at the end
mm-hmm.
like while they're already at the prom.
No, it was Tyler.
It was Tyler?
Yeah, so okay. Tyler come. This was actually a really kind of a funny Edward moment.
Yeah.
Sorry people who don't want to hear about the book. But Tyler had, at this point, every single person had asked her out. Tyler, like, they're getting out of school. They're in, like, the, you know, they're in the, like, traffic line to get out of school. And Tyler stops his truck in front of Bella so she can't get out. Walks over and asks her out, okay? And then she, like, gives him the brush-off answer. And then later, Edward comes up and he's like, I don't remember. He's, like, the exact same wording as... As, like, all the boys keep asking, and she's like, haha. This is when he asked her to go to their meadow or whatever, I think,
right.
for their... So, like, yeah. So then, I guess, I don't remember, she gave... What did she tell Tyler? I don't remember what brush-off answer she told him, but I guess he didn't take it as a hard no.
Yeah.
So he, like, asked... He thinks that they're still going together at the end of the...
Right,
the,
when...
Whatever.
She gets a call from her dad, and he's like, hey, Tyler's here to pick you up for the prom, but she's already at the prom that...
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that little difference in the book. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah. But you don't really see Tyler that much in the
movie. In the movie, don't. Not
really
at all.
Just, well, there's too many of them. It's just really Mike.
There's a lot of them.
Angela
explains that she invited Edward. Mm-hmm. The reservation boys, or one of them, says, the Cullens don't come here.
Yeah, they're like not, they're not welcome or something.
Right,
like
right, right. Well, that's the line, exactly. The Cullens don't come here. And then, so Bella's later walking with Jacob, and she asks what they meant, and Jacob's like, oh, you caught that, did you? And he's like,
oh, yeah.
He was the only one speaking at the time, and like like six people were there. How would you not have caught that?
What a weird thing to say, too. They don't come here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Of course you would catch it.
Quileutes.
Quileutes. Yes.
That's yeah. Right. So Jacob tells them that it's old stories and that the Quileutes are supposedly descended from wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a big clue.
Yeah.
That is dropped on her, and in the next movie, it takes her freaking forever to connect it.
I don't know. I mean, so Bella, I would think, should connect it because she knows about vampires,
right.
Okay? But I think if you didn't know anything supernatural, then you would never connect it.
Right,
in years.
Right, okay.
But
yeah, there's one more at the end where
where
Edward goes, I leave you alone for a second and the wolves descend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, hello, Bella. Like, in the next one, how does it take you forever?
Yeah.
Then Jacob continues the story, saying, a long time ago, the Cullens were caught hunting on their land, but claimed they were something different than what the Quileutes thought they were. And they came to an agreement that if they stayed off their land, they wouldn't report what they really were to the Palefaces.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob ends with saying, but it's just a story, Bella.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, what are they? And he's like, I don't know. It's not real.
It's not real. Right, exactly. Now we see Wayland, and he is like...
Wait, is this the Santa
the
guy?
Santa guy.
Okay, I did not connect that.
Yeah, that's the only reason we met him. So that when we care about him, when we kill him.
So nobody's in the books. Nobody's getting killed in the town. I don't think.
They're outside of the town.
Well, because, well, it's a point to say that the Collins are a huge vampire, like, they call themselves family, whatever, but they're, like, sure. a huge group of vampires all living together, and absolutely no vampires would be, like, coming onto their land.
Sure.
Because, and they're, I mean, I don't know that you would know this, but they're extremely powerful group of vampires,
yeah,
right?
We find that out.
So, like, there's no absolutely no way they'd be killing people in Forks in the books. In the yes. movie, I understand why, because otherwise, you can't just have them pop out of nowhere and be like, oh, yes. killing people? So it makes sense. And you gotta, like, be rooting against them. So they're killing people that you know, I guess.
Waylon is on his boat. Mm-hmm. And then three vampires show up. They tease him for a little bit. And I think one of them is like, hey, don't play with your food. And then they, like, you know, they chase him a little bit and they kill him.
Yeah. That one vampire I thought was really funny. He's wearing, like, a ruffly shirt. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what, it, like... Like a, like, I don't know, you know, like an old timey ruffle shirt.
Sure.
And
he's
like, what? And then he's not wearing that later. He's just wearing normal clothes later.
I don't know.
So it was really funny. I'm like, what? I guess they're trying to say, because his name is Laurent. I guess they're trying to say he's like from the French, like,
time.
I don't know, whatever, don't know. Like Louis the 16th time or whatever.
Sure.
But like.
He says later that he's 300 years old.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not doing the math on that.
Yeah.
But
you're good.
Whatever. But yeah, he's wearing a ruffle shirt and it's pretty funny.
All right. So Bella uses the information that she got from Jacob to start internet searching where to find books on the subject instead of internet searching the answers.
Just internet search. Just don't bother internet searching
the answers.
The actual answer. Find a bookshop.
Yeah, I know.
And this is like jumping forward, but she has to end up internet searching again.
Yes, she uses the books to find the next internet search.
Okay, whatever. Yeah,
but you're right. That's jumping ahead, but that's hilarious. Then they're back at school. Bella's wondering where the Cullens are. Jessica tells them anytime it's sunny outside, they all ditch that.
Go camping. The
doctor and Mrs. Cullen pull them all out of school to go hiking and do other nature stuff.
Very believable.
Right? Very believable. Jessica's like, I tried that on my parents and there was like, no way. Mm-hmm. But just funny. Jessica and Angela are both now going to the prom and they're like, you sure you can't go? Because now they want her to go that now that they have the dates that they want. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, but I'd love to go with you when you go dress shopping. And they're like, of course, I need your opinion.
Because she wants to go to Port Angeles to go to that bookshop. That one bookshop.
She wants to go to that one bookshop because they live in such a small town. When they're there.
Which, by the way, Port Angeles is not a big town either.
Yeah.
So it's funny that that's like the big town. But it makes sense because it probably is the big town.
Well, when I think about it, when I went to college in Commerce, Texas.
Yeah.
Greenville, which is a small town.
Yeah.
Was our big town. Like you drove 15 minutes to get to Greenville to go to.
Exactly.
Two restaurants and one movie theater.
Right. Yeah, I guess this is what Port Angeles is for.
Right, exactly. Well, when they're in the dress shop, Jessica's like tried on five different dresses and Bella gives her the same answer to everyone. She's like, yeah, but they look good. While they're doing that, some boys walk by, knock on the window, like, yeah. Which, I guess it proves that they look good. Like, I don't know. It was awkward. And then they could tell that Bella's not interested in them. Mm-hmm. And that she tells them she really wanted to come to go to this bookstore. She'll go to the restaurant and meet them afterwards. She goes to the bookstore, buys a book or two. But when she's leaving, she started getting followed by a couple of guys. Mm-hmm. She starts to speed up and they're like, hey, where are you going? Mm-hmm. Other guys show up from the other side. One guy from one group throws the other guy a beer. Mm-hmm. Like if he needs courage to go through with this evil action that they're about to do.
I mean, but they're being creeps.
They're being creeps. I mean, they're surrounding her. That looks like they're, you know, going to attack her.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a car pulls up. Edward gets out of it, gives them a death glare, and they're able to back away. I mean, his glare apparently was...
I guess it's very menacing?
Maybe.
Question mark?
Maybe there was a sparkle.
I guess they sense his innate...
Maybe they did.
Like, danger or
it's
something.
It's not like he growled or anything,
He didn't growl. I don't think he growls. They don't have teeth.
They don't have teeth?
I mean, they have regular teeth. Like human teeth. They don't have sharp teeth.
Man, I don't know why it worked.
I think he just has a danger eminence coming off him.
Sure.
He whips out so aggressively. I laughed. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that wasn't necessary. Mm-hmm. You're already in the car.
Yeah. Well, he drives into the restaurant. Bella gets out and Jessica and Angela are like, where were you? We're really worried. We left you so many voice messages, but we ended up eating without you. Mm-hmm. Then they see Edward and then they start giggling like, oh.
Yeah.
Edward apologizes saying that Bella and him just ran into each other and they start talking. They lost track of time. And Jessica's like, oh, no, that totally happens, right? Yeah. And they're like, oh, we got to go. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm going to make sure Bella gets something to eat. Inside the restaurant, Bella tells Edward that she wants some answers. And his reply is yes, no, to get to the other side. 1.772.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to know the square root of pi.
I guess this is showing that she's smart again, because she's like, smart. Oh, you know that?
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like they've been in geometry by now. Trigonometry, they probably do know what that is. But, you know, whatever.
So Bella wants to know how he was there. Did he follow her? And he admits that he feels compelled to protect her. He was trying to keep his distance. But when he heard what those guys were thinking, evil thoughts that they were going to do to her. Right. Just says it out loud. Well, the evil thoughts that they were going to do to her. And then she's like, you can hear people's thoughts. And he goes, I can read everybody really easily except for you.
Let me back up a second and point out a minor thing that I just noticed on this watch.
Okay.
Which is, Bella always seems to be eating vegetarian food. I'm like, is Bella a vegetarian? Because that's kind of funny.
I think she does say that.
When does she say that?
I don't know. I feel like, maybe not.
She eats like a Gordon burger, and then she eats a salad, and now, or maybe that's later, but now she's eating mushroom ravioli, which for some reason was a big plot point in the books about the mushroom ravioli.
Yeah.
But,
You're right. It's all implied, but yes, I believe she's a vegetarian.
I don't know if that was a joke or what, but it's pretty funny.
No, yeah. I think it's really interesting.
Because they're vegetarian vampires.
Yeah, we'll get
there. We haven't talked about that yet.
I got words. When he tells her that he can read everybody's mind except for hers, she asks if there's something wrong with her, which he thinks is comical.
Yeah.
Like, because I can read people's minds, but there must be something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
But he gives a performance of what he can do. He says that guy's thinking about money, that woman's thinking about sex, this guy's thinking about money. That guy's thinking about his cat. And he looks so longingly like, I miss my cat. Yeah, it's pretty funny. And on the drive home.
Wait, he says something really creepy. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
I don't have the strength to stay away from you anymore. Yikes. What a creepy thing to say.
Yeah.
But again, does not turn Bella off one little bit.
I mean, she's attracted to him.
She's happy to be with him.
Yeah. Oh, man. So on the drive home, Bella has to tell Edward that she's warm enough because he must be blasting the heater. He can't tell. And they both go to adjust it. And she accidentally touches his hand and realizes that his skin is cold to the touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then they notice both their father's cars are at this crime scene. Bella gets out, Edward gets out, and they see Carlisle. He tells them that Wayland was killed. And Bella, she should go inside because Wayland was your dad's friend. So she runs inside. They do say it's another animal attack. And Edward and Carlisle share a look like they know something.
Mm-hmm.
More than he's saying to Bella.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, when she sees the dead body, she starts having flashbacks of Edward.
Yeah.
Assuming for the movie that they're trying to say, I guess there's some world in which people don't know that they're vampires watching this movie. I don't know. I always think about that, like, when they do adaptation or adaptations of really, really popular books. Like,
sure.
There are some people who are going to the movie without knowing what's going on, I guess.
So I felt like Star Wars prequels, the third one, had a big, is he going to become Darth Vader? Is he not going to become Darth Vader?
Yeah,
Or, they presented it as like, will he stay good or will he go evil? Like, we didn't all know that he was going to be Darth Vader.
But I think people did. I feel like there was a group of people who were young enough that those were the first Star Wars.
Sure.
But even if you haven't seen it, do you know what happens? Because it's part of pop culture, right?
Right. This is pop culture.
I can only assume people going to watch Twilight without having ever read the books know, oh, this is a vampire movie.
Right.
But the scene is like, oh, giving us clues. Like, oh, are we connecting?
Yeah.
Are we connecting that these deaths might be related to Edward somehow? I don't know.
Right. I guess I took it a little bit as it didn't make sense, but her brain is connecting the pieces that maybe she's starting to figure out that he's a vampire.
Because she saw a dead body?
Yeah. I don't know why jumps to this, but it is.
Well, that makes
more sense. She's looking at his powers.
It makes more sense because it's her, like, she's having memories.
Right. Because then we cut to her at home using the books to give her the next internet searches. And she uses the internet to learn about vampires all over the world.
So she finds this like book. In the book, it says cold ones. So she starts investigating cold ones.
Yeah, exactly. So she started looking up vampires in India and other places in the world.
This sounds right.
Yep. And then so she starts learning about speed, strength, they're immortal, and they drink blood. Mm-hmm. Like all the facts mm-hmm. that she learns about them.
I didn't know that about vampires. Did you know that? That they're immortal and that they drink blood?
I had an idea.
I would have I had to Google that. Search it personally.
You know, well, it might be all the books I've read on vampires. Oh, I don't okay. know. All it right. could be. Maybe yeah. I'd be well versed. Well, it
just doesn't read enough books and on Rice, vampires. You know, yeah.
Read a lot of those.
Yeah.
At school, she approaches Edward. She gives him a strange look. He can't read her mind, and she keeps walking past, but the look was like, follow me into the woods. Mm-hmm. Now.
Great idea.
If he's not a vampire, uh-huh. then he's thinking, she's like, hey, follow me in the woods. Yeah. You're about to get lucky? Like, but that's what everybody at school probably thinks know. They're about to do.
Yeah, they just walk off into they're the like, woods They're
like,
we're not together.
Going to school. We're just going to go to the woods together. Yeah. Like, everybody at school yeah, has to think that's what just happened.
You have to. 100%.
So she lays out the facts for him. As she knows them. You speak like you're from a different time.
Didn't notice that ever one time.
Right, yeah.
Not in the movie.
Right.
But okay.
She asks how old you are. He says 17. She asks how long you've been 17. And he says a while.
Yeah, that's a great line. Mm-hmm. A while.
And then Edward's like, I want you to say it. I want you to say what I am. And while this is happening, the camera is like panning mm-hmm. all over the place. Yeah. Like it's supposed to be her brain mm-hmm. in frantic mode, I mm-hmm. think. She says it, vampire, and she says she's not afraid. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, then you need to see what I look like. He pulls her onto his back.
Yeah.
And in 5 seconds or less, makes yeah. it to the top of the mountain.
Like zooms.
to where yeah. there's this one stream of sunlight. Making it through, his body is sparkles all over.
And that's when she's terrified. No, just kidding. But I'm like, why? First off, the effect in this movie is very subtle. Like, it looks like he has, like, glitter. Like, yep. just glitter on him.
Sure.
And I'm like, why would that be... She knows you're a vampire. You yep. just mentioned, do I drink blood, Bella? Duh-duh. And he's like whipping her around. Like, and but no, but what's really going to convince her is that your skin sort of sparkles.
Right.
No. But okay.
She says, it's like diamonds. You're beautiful. And he has this laugh. He's just like, but it's the skin of a killer.
This is the skin of a killer, Bella.
I'm the world's most dangerous predator. Everything invites you in. My voice, my looks, my smell. As if you can run away. As mm-hmm. if you could fight yeah. me off.
Yeah. He's zipping around, pulling trees off and whatnot.
She's like, I don't care. And he's like,
she's like, real like, no problem. Nope.
And he's like, I've killed people before. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. She just does not care. And it's like, this
that's why she's a catch. I mean, you could do anything and she doesn't care.
No, it's just Edward, not anybody.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Like she really doesn't care.
Oh.
I mean, that's a good question. What could he do at this point?
And you pointed out this to me before we recorded that he wanted to kill her. And I thought that wasn't true, but he says it right here.
Oh, yeah.
That he wanted to kill her. He'd never wanted a human's blood more in his life.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. And yeah. she's like, I trust you.
I guess on their first meeting, it wasn't love at first sight for Edward as it was for Bella.
Sure.
It's like he just wants to kill her. But
right.
Yeah, there's no hesitation about it except for he's like, well, I'm not able to cover this up. I really think that was his like, now I think I might be getting this from, and this is really outing myself, from the Edward's viewpoint book.
Oh, sure.
That he's like, oh, I'm going to just kill her. I can cover it up. Well, no, I don't think I can cover it up. He's like, well, he doesn't really think, oh, I'm a bad person. He does eventually, but he's like, oh, it's going to be a pain in the butt. And then, oh, I'm going to let Carlisle down. Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't like, but I just love her so much. I can't kill her.
Sure.
Not yet.
For the listeners that may not know, Stephanie Meyer first wrote the book. The first couple of chapters were stolen on the internet and published by somebody. And then she swore she would never finish the book. And a lot of fans were mad at this one guy that was like trying to help fans by publishing it. And then, I don't know, a decade or so later.
I think it was the 10, like something anniversary.
10-year anniversary. She finally decided to publish the book. And so now it's out there to read from Edward's point of view.
This is funny. She published two books. One, the Edward's point of view one. And then the other one was a gender flipped version of Twilight, which is funny because I think she had a lot of like backlash about, oh, Bella doesn't do anything. Like she's like a girl in distress or whatever. What do you call it? Not girl in distress.
Damsel?
She's like a damsel in distress and she does nothing, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, it doesn't have anything to do with her being a woman. It has to do with her being a human. Like, what is she going to do?
Right.
So she like wrote a gender flipped version to show that even if it was a guy, it would be the exact same thing.
Sure.
Although that was kind of funny.
That is funny. After telling her that he wanted to kill her, mm-hmm. she says, I trust you. And he says he's afraid he can't control himself. And he tells her, I can't read your mind. You have to tell me what you're thinking. She says she's not afraid of him, only afraid of losing him and that he would disappear. And he said he's waited a long time for her. And
yeah, I don't, that line was, came out of nowhere. After he's telling her multiple times, he wanted to kill her.
Yep.
Don't be friends with me. Now he says, oh, I've waited a long time for you.
Well, what? I mean, he's the only one that's not had a mated pair in their whole vampire pack.
I guess we're supposed to now know that he's like in love with her, but I don't know that this is clear in the movie to me.
Sure. I mean, I got the impression that at least in their family of vampires, you don't union with somebody and then break it off later.
No, that's true.
It's like a faux pas thing. You're there for eternity.
I don't think it's a faux pas thing. I think it's like a biological thing.
Okay.
I feel like they describe it like, I don't remember, that vampires are very unchanging. And once they like fall in love, that's it.
Oh, that's
okay. They don't like fall out of in love.
I get it.
Fall out of love or something like that. She says something very problematic, which is when he says, are you afraid of me? She said, I'm only afraid of losing you.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, Bella, come on.
It's problematic?
Well, I mean, he's done so many creepy things at this point.
This is true.
And she barely knows him, but whatever. Yeah, okay.
And then we get the line, the line. I can't say that without saying lion. We get the line.
The lion line.
Right. So the lion fell in love with the lamb. That's from Edward. And then she says, what a stupid lamb.
What an opportunity to cut that line. But they didn't. They kept it in.
And then he says, what a sick masochistic lion.
Yeah. I was like, what a dumb line. And they could have cut it. But do you think people would have been mad if they cut it?
Yeah, maybe. But they're speaking of lines that should be cut in the fourth movie.
Yeah.
When Jacob imprints on Renesmee.
That whole storyline.
First of all, sure. I mean, it's a little kid. He's mated. He's fated to be her mate.
Yeah.
But Jacob has to say the line, should I just call you dad now? I mean, she's a day or two old at this point, and he's like already thinking about fact that they're going to be married, and it's so inappropriate.
Yeah, I know. Let's not mention it, Jacob. Don't mention
it. Don't mention it, right? I mean, Edward's going to kill you.
But anyway, to get back in track.
Yeah. So they lay down next to each other, mm-hmm. to stare at each other. I think Edward doesn't know the next steps of what they're supposed to be doing here.
Yeah.
And then we get a voiceover. Three facts. Edward was a vampire. Mm-hmm. Part of him thirsted for my blood.
What a way to say that. Thirsted for my blood.
but she's in love with him.
She's in love with him. That's her fact. She's only known him for like a month or maybe, and they've barely talked, but she's definitely in love with him for sure. For sure.
Those sparkles must be hypnotizing.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then they show up as this couple at school. Official. Everyone in the school is staring.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, not that guy. Oh, wait, he just looked. Eric looks like he's in pain. This goes into your let's keep a low profile. They show up like announcing it like big time. Like, hey. And later, Bella asks more about the rules. Edward explains that Carlisle is the one that decided he would only turn someone that is already dying.
Mm-hmm.
Edward was dying of the Spanish flu. And after he created Edward was when he created Esme, his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So with this pattern, Edward is the one that has, I guess, been looking for a mate forever. He's been alive longer than Esme.
I mean, I think Carla was a vampire longer than before he found Esme, longer than Edward was a vampire before he found Bella.
Okay. All right.
But anyway,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying. Also, he says he died in 1918.
Sure.
So you know exactly how old he is, which I'm not going to do that math. I think it was like 80 something. I don't remember.
Right. Well, if it's 2008 when this film came out.
Or is it 100? Wait.
So that would be 90 years old.
So he's not that old. I mean, he's like a grandpa old.
Sure. Yeah.
So
I mean, he is in vampire years, right? But that, tack on to that 17.
Okay, fine. 17 plus 17. All right. So he's a little bit older than like a grandpa.
Right. Yeah.
You get like a lot of info dumping happening.
Yeah. Bella asks if they can all read minds. She says no, but Alice can see the future.
Oh, do we already mention that they're quote vegetarians?
That That happens. It happens right here?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did I miss it? Oh, yeah, it did. I just skipped over it. Yeah, she says that, yeah, Edward says that they consider them vegetarians because they only eat the meat of animals, mm-hmm. which is hilarious because...
Well, that's not a vegetarian.
That's not a vegetarian, right? It's the opposite of vegetarian. It's a carnivore. Yeah. But I mean, we get his point. He's trying to make they are on a restricted diet to be better people. Mm-hmm. But it's hilarious that that's the definition that they chose as a word that means the opposite of what they are.
Yeah, Bella is very nonchalant after hearing about any of this information.
Sure.
She's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. So Edward plans on her to meet the family, and she's worried that they won't like her. Mm-hmm. Not that she's going to be in a house full of vampires. No, and then when Edward's driving away, they have this scene where his car passes Billy Black's truck.
Yeah.
They have this crazy, like stare down. Yeah. As they pass each other. We find out that Billy came over to watch the big screen TV, to watch some football. Mm-hmm. He also claims that Jacob won't shut up about seeing Bella again. Uh-huh.
And he has a cute line because he's like, Dad. Yeah. And he's like, I'm just keeping it real, son.
That's just funny. Charlie tells Billy the death was an animal, and Billy says, I never thought it was. Billy looks at Bella and says, we don't want anybody else to get hurt. Mm-hmm. But he looks like he's looking at her like she's somehow at fault. Mm-hmm. Then we get to the Cullen's house.
He's just worried about her.
Yeah. That could be it.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's unclear.
At the Cullen's house, this is a beautiful house.
I wrote modern monstrosity, which actually, so I have a thing about modern. Okay.
Because it's square and full of glass.
Look, I like a modern looking house, and this is a beautiful house.
Okay? It is.
And they built it perfect, right in the middle of the woods where no one can see it. What I have a problem with is when people build these huge modern monstrosities in the middle of like a neighborhood where they have like all these like craftsman houses, these cute little cottages, and then all of a sudden you have this giant box monstrosity in the middle of like a cute neighborhood. But you know what, Collins, you go for it because you're out in the middle of nowhere. You can build whatever house you want.
That's funny. So it is, it's big, it's square, it's made of glass everywhere, so everybody could just look at them at all times.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And even though there's nowhere, you said, there's nowhere around.
Says, he says, this is this one place we don't have to hide. And I'm like, when have you been hiding?
This is true.
You don't seem to be hiding.
Right. That's too funny. She says it's a nice house. And he says, what did you expect? Dungeons, coffins, and moats? And she says, well, not the moats. The family's preparing food for her. They're all excited. Yeah, they're like happy
cute.
To.
Very
yeah,
cute.
It's yeah. adorable.
Except they're, for Rosalie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. They're all. Yeah. Rosalie's never happy. They're all happy. They get to cook. They've never got to use the kitchen. They've never had an excuse to.
Yeah.
Ask Bella. I hope you're hungry. And she's like, oh, I'm totally hungry.
Yeah.
And Edward's like, she already ate. Was like, what a jerk.
Geez, Edward.
He killed
well,
their
I think
fun
he said,
time.
He said before he told them not to do it.
Oh, right.
And then they did it anyway. So I guess he's like, but they didn't seem that upset except for Rosalie.
Rosalie got mad. She crushes
the glass bowl with her hand.
So used real glass in this scene.
Uh-huh.
And Rosalie really cut her hand.
Oh,
so there's
I didn't know that.
There's other scenes in the movie where she's wearing a glove.
Oh, funny.
And it's because, or gloves. It's because she cut her hand in this scene.
Oh, that's really funny.
But I thought Edward was a little rude for like killing their joy. I was like, oh my gosh. Rosalie's said that she's just mad because if something were to go badly. And Bella goes, oh, you mean if I become the meal? Because at first she says that she wouldn't report them. And they're saying it doesn't matter because they're public.
Uh-huh.
So if something happened to her, they would look
at
Edward.
Yeah, they would question Edward. Yeah.
And they would go for the family.
Yeah, they laugh uproariously about her saying she's going to be the meal.
Right. Yeah, they do. And then this is where they say that Jasper's the newest vegetarian of them.
Yeah, they bounce through the window. They hop through the window. Yeah. Alice and Jasper.
That's pretty cool.
And Alice gives her a big hug and says something like, we're going to be friends or...
Oh my gosh, I forgot to say that. I named a kid after Jasper.
Was it after Jasper from
Twilight? Oh, completely.
That's so funny.
Well, and Avery was from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
Then Ethan was from Lost. Ethan Rom in season one. Oh my gosh. All right, let's see here. Oh, we climb up the stairs and we see all the graduation hats.
Mm-hmm. Jasper's weird again. I'm just going to point that out. This whole movie, he's just
weird the whole movie. You're not wrong about it.
Did they give him the actor notes? Okay, just give weird looks the whole time. And I don't think he speaks that much at all either.
Yeah.
He has like a little interaction.
He speaks a lot more in 3.
Later. Yeah. I mean, I think even in the books, you don't really have a lot going with Jasper because he's trying to avoid Bella because he's afraid that he might hurt her.
Okay, that makes sense.
But he's just so creepy in this movie, I think.
Is that who goes after her in the second one? Like in the very beginning, she cuts her finger. Someone attacks her. Yeah. It's Jasper.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. So they're climbing the stairs. Bella notices they have like all these graduation hats in this colorful order. Ugh, God. And he says they matriculate a lot.
Which it's is a weird private joke. Okay.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where he, well, this is, well, yeah. He's talking from like he's from another time. Know. Maybe that's what it is. Oh my gosh. They get to her room. She says there's no bed and he points out that he never sleeps.
Yeah, we find out vampires don't sleep.
At all.
Which sounds amazing. I mean, on one hand, I love sleeping.
Right. I like to sleep.
But on the other hand, you could accomplish so much.
So much.
But also, like, you know, this is not in the movies, but in the books, they're like, vampires are not tired. They don't get tired.
Right.
So, yeah, you have no reason to sleep. Wow, wow, wow. You'd have so much time on your hands.
That's too funny. I think he puts on music, wants to dance, and she says she can't dance. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I could always make you. Mm-hmm. That's where she's like, I'm not scared of you. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. Pulls her on his back again.
Yeah.
Jumps to a tree.
He's being playful. He's not actually trying to scare
her. He pulls her, they jump to a tree and he says the line, you better hold on tight, spider monkey.
Oh my God. So dumb.
And then they climb and jump through trees like crazy.
Yeah.
And then we get like this scene where they're talking, but we don't hear what they're saying as they're chatting really high up in a tree.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Edward playing a classic melody on the piano.
He was playing piano.
Yeah, for Bella. And then we see Charlie leading a search party, and they find Victoria's footprint, and he's shocked to find that it's human.
Yeah. So the bad vampires are being hunted by the police. But I think they showed them watching the police, so they are unconcerned.
Outside the restaurant, Mike tells Bella that he doesn't approve of Edward Bella as a relationship. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Like, who cares what you think? Who cares what you think? Yeah, she gets a spinach salad.
Yeah, see? There you go again. I noticed that they seem to be less awkward at this point, Bella and her dad.
Yeah, they're growing on each other.
Yeah, they seem to be having more natural conversation.
The waitress at the diner asks, you know, tell them all the boys are curious. They want to know if there's been any leads. Charlie tells them that they did find a footprint, but that it was headed out east, so he's letting the police over there continue the search. But it looks like they've moved out of their area. And then Mike and their friends are shaking their butts at Bella through the window.
Yeah.
Which I would think that if knowing they know who her father is, and that not only does he have a gun, but he has the law on his side to use the gun.
He doesn't seem to care, though.
He doesn't seem to care. In fact, he actually seems excited about the idea of Bella and Mike.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's happy for her to put down roots.
Yeah, that's true.
But she says, oh no, he's just a good buddy, which I think is a really funny thing to say. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I've never in my life called anybody a good buddy.
A good buddy. Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe he thinks, you know, Mike looks like a good boy to him.
Yeah, like, he's not probably like a nice... everyone knows everyone. He probably knows his parents or whatever.
Sure. But she shuts him down. Like, really, Dad? You want to talk about boys?
Yeah. He's like, nope.
On the phone, Bella tells her moms that Forks is actually growing on her, and her mom instantly knows that there must be a boy.
Yeah.
She doesn't get to tell him much because Edward's all of a sudden in her room, and she's like, oh, Mom, I gotta go, and she yells out really quickly, are you being safe? You know, like, which is a good mom thing to say.
Yeah. And this also shows that she's like, shut her dad down about talking about who she's dating, but then her mom, she's like, oh, yeah, let's dish.
Yeah.
But Edward shows up, so.
I mean, but I think that's a mother-daughter thing.
Yeah, I guess.
That's true. She asks if Edward has watched her sleep, and he says yes, that he actually enjoys watching her sleep.
That is not a turnoff, apparently.
And it's not a turnoff.
Yikes.
Oh, man. He says, there's one thing I've always wanted to try. Be very still. Don't move. And so he goes in slowly for a kiss, and then they do.
So slowly.
Oh, man.
And she instantly moves.
Yeah. She starts to try to get on top of him. And
well,
then
I think he like creeps over, gives her like a kiss, and then instantly she's like, comes back at him.
Yeah, well,
she's like backing away.
But it's like she's pushing him down, like she's trying to get on top.
Oh, yeah.
And then he pushes her over, like he's going to be on top, but then he throws himself back.
Away. Yeah.
Jumps to the wall so fast because he can't ever lose control because he's too strong.
Oh, he also might kill her.
Yeah, right. He would kill her. Right. They stay up for a while talking, but then we see that he just holds her as she sleeps that
night. He's like, she can sense that he wants to leave. And she's like, no, don't go. I like that. I do like in this movie that they show scenes that they're talking to each other. Because up to like pretty far into the movie, they don't have any conversations except for Edward to say, I don't want to be friends with you. You know what I mean? So I like that we're shown that they're like getting to know each other.
It's not that he doesn't want to be friends. He just thinks they shouldn't be.
I didn't say that. I said, what?
You said, I don't want to be friends with you.
You shouldn't be friends with me, Bella.
There you go. Yes.
I'm a monster, Bella. This is the skin of a monster, Bella. What is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. The skin of a killer.
The skin of a killer, Bella.
All right. This is my favorite Charlie scene. Well, yeah. I think so. It's funny. Charlie's cleaning a shotgun when Bella comes and says, Edward wants to take her out on a date. And he's like, I didn't think you liked any boys that live in town. He goes, he doesn't live in town.
Yeah, Bella.
And he goes, isn't he a little too old for her? And she doesn't lie. She says, no, he's a junior. I'm a junior. Which technically isn't lying. Yeah. You know, like. And then Charlie shuts the gun, like ready for action. And he goes, bring him in. And she's like, Dad, please don't. He's important. So Edward comes in. He's super formal.
Very polite.
Tells him that Bella's going to go play baseball, and he doesn't believe it. He's like, oh, good luck with that.
Yeah. This interaction's funny if you think about it, because Edward is way older than Charlie, but he's like very...
Trying to be very respectable. Very
polite. Yeah, respectful and polite.
I get it, yeah.
He also says, Charlie says to Bella, remember your prepper spray.
Yeah, that's right.
Which he had given to her after kills.
And so then we get out there. We find out that the reason they can play is because there's a thunderstorm coming. And that she'll find out what that means in a little bit. And we find out that means that they just hit the ball so hard. It makes such a loud cracking noise.
I know this has been said by many people many times.
Sure.
But this scene is so bonkers.
It is bonkers.
One, they're playing baseball. Okay. Yep. Two, they have whole little outfits for playing baseball.
They do.
Like, they love baseball so much that they have these little outfits that they put on for playing baseball. And then on top of that, the music they're playing behind this scene is Muse Supermassive Black Hole, which is so strange to be playing against baseball. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm going to say I don't think the sound of a bat being hit really hard. If you're hitting it so hard that it's making a thunder sound, wouldn't that break the ball?
Yeah, I don't think the equipment would make it. And I think that's why they use metal bats and not wooden ones. But if they could only play during a thunderstorm, I would use wooden bat.
Well, I guess they don't care about being electrocuted.
Yeah, but Bella's around.
I don't know how conductive those metal bats are anyway. I'd have to look at what alloy it's made out of.
Sure,
you know?
Okay.
It might not be that conductive.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think this logically makes sense, but that's okay. Because the rest of the movie is flawless, logically. Which this baseball doesn't
flawless.
Make sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bella's the umpire. Alice is pitching. She's got this crazy like high kick leg thing before she pitches, which I think is hilarious. Yeah. Rosalie hits the ball. It's out of the park. And Bella asks Esme, that's a home run, right? She says, oh, Edward's really fast.
Yeah.
And so Edward runs out, gets the ball, catches it, throws it back to Esme. She's holding it down as Rosalie slides in.
And she's out.
And Bella goes, you're out. And then Rosalie gets all mad. Yeah, she's always mad. And even Emmett's like, come on, it's just a game. But then they have fun, you know, like there's a scene where Edward and Emmett jump for a ball that Carlisle hit and they crash into each other.
Yeah.
Which is fun. But
I noticed that Alice and Edward are on the same team, which I think is unfair. That's a real stacked team.
That is a tag team with powers. Yeah. And then there's also one other scene I want to point out where Emmett jumps into a tree to catch it and Rosalie says, my monkey man.
That's so stupid.
Oh, and then three nomadic vampires show up. Yeah. James, Victoria, and Laurent.
Yeah, Alice yells, sees them with her mind's eye that they're coming, and she yells at them to stop playing. And then I guess Edward senses or like reads their minds and has them all crowd around Bella.
Right. They were just leaving the area and they heard the game. So that's why they came back.
Mm-hmm.
Edward tells Bella to put her hair down and Rosalie says like, that'll help. I can smell her a mile away. When Roland shows up, he introduces himself and he says, we love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, you know, it sounds amazing. And he says they were just passing through. Carlisle says that they've kind of caused some trouble for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they didn't know that any vampires were living in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, we have a permanent residence here.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I think Victoria is the one that says, well, we let him east, so they shouldn't be, yeah. There should be no trouble for like, you.
Sorry about that, but we'll leave now.
Right.
I guess we get that vampires just love baseball.
They love, I mean, it's the American pastime. That's what Edward says, right?
It's
the American pastime. Carly agrees to let them play the game and says a couple of them are leaving anyway. And James is like locking eyes with Bella. He turns around, but then the wind blows the right direction again.
God, that wind.
She's got bad luck with air.
Oh, gosh.
And he smells her and he's instantly wants, he's like, you brought snacks.
Yeah.
And they all defend
they, like,
her.
They all like do this like crouch face off, which is funny. Yeah. Like, ha.
Well, it's so many of them versus three
of them. I
know.
What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Even if they don't know that they have like superpowers or whatever. But even so, there's so many of them against three. There's no way they're going to win.
Right. Oh, man.
Well, they're outnumbered. So they decide.
Right. They decide
like,
to leave.
Okay, we're going to leave.
Edward like is shoving her in the car. She's obviously like panicked.
Out. Yeah.
And she's like, fine, I got it. I can buckle myself. Edward tells her that he read his mind, that James is a tracker, and the hunt is his obsession, and he will never stop hunting her. So then they get the idea that they need to lie to Bella's dad.
Well, so they're gonna... Edward just wants to take Bella away from the town.
Right. Oh, like, right. You're right.
What an overreaction. Again, there's seven of them.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do? Like, yeah. Really and truly. I mean... They could watch her. They don't sleep. They could watch her 24/7. Alice can tell the future.
Yeah.
So she can tell if they're about to attack Bella. They don't know. So this is like a plot point later on because Victoria finds out that Alice can tell the future. So she like doesn't make plans. She kind of does snap decisions.
Sure.
But at this point, they don't know that Alice can tell the future. So Alice can tell every single time they like decide to change plans.
Right.
So like this is like, I mean, I guess this is like it would be boring otherwise. You're like, it's fine, let's just go back to the house and we'll just watch you for a month or whatever. But yeah, so anyway, so Edward's like, we gotta get you out of here. And Bella's like, oh no, they're gonna come after my dad. So now they have to make sure that Charlie's safe, and this is why they go back to the house.
Right. So Bella runs in pretending like she broke up with Edward. She doesn't want to see him again.
Yeah.
Charlie's worried that he did something inappropriate, and he said, no, I broke up with him, he didn't break up with me. And then she runs upstairs and packs. Edward's in the room. He's like, oh, I can't be mean to him. I can't do it. She's like, you have to. It's for his own good. And so she goes out there and she says like things that she knows will really hurt him. And he's trying to be good. He's like, I know I'm bored to be around.
Yeah.
But we can hang out. We can do more stuff. What? Go watch games on the TV and go to the restaurant.
Yeah, she's basically like, I broke up with Edward because I liked him and I didn't want to set down roots here and I don't want to be stuck here.
Yeah, because I'll be stuck here like mom was.
Yeah.
But she's like, she knows like that it hurts him.
Yeah.
But she does, like, it kind of breaks my heart.
That's why like, her dad or her mom left him.
Yeah. It's hard.
I was like, poor Charlie.
I know. It's like hard to hear this.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going back to Arizona. And he's like, oh, well, like, you can fly tomorrow. Like, just sleep on it. Like,
yeah. I was like, I'll drive you myself.
Yeah.
That's what he said, yeah.
She's like, I gotta go.
Oh, man, it was horrible.
And they do show that James is watching her house, so...
Yes. On the road, Edward jumps onto the truck, scares Bella, she's driving.
Yeah.
He says, let me drive, gets in, and then Emmett jumps on the back of the truck, and he's holding on, like, standing up there. And then Edward tells her that Alice is in the car behind them.
Yeah.
And they make it to the Cullens' house.
Mm-hmm.
Laurent is there. Edward's, like, ready to attack, and he says that Carlisle tells him, no, he's here to warn us.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them that he's leaving the other two, that he's tired of James's games, and that he's the like fiercest thing he's ever seen in the last 300 mm-hmm. years. They have the plan that Alice and Jasper are going to drive Bella south away from Edward.
Yeah, because they think that James will know that Bella's with Edward, so they have to separate.
Right, exactly. So they're doing the unexpected. And Edward asks Rosalie to wear Bella's jacket, and Rosalie's like, why? What is she to me?
No brat.
Now she is. And Carla jumps in to say, Bella's with Edward. She's part of the family now, and we protect our family.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah, and then she's like, okay, fine.
Yeah. Edward, Emmett, and Rosalie are running, and they're putting her scent in this direction they're going. James is following them for a while, but then James realizes after a while that it's a ruse and starts going the other direction.
We got a great line before this when they're saying goodbye, Edward and Bella, and Edward goes, "You are my life now." I'm like, oh my God, what a red flag.
Is that a red flag? That's not romantic?
It is. No.
Oh man, that's too funny. They're in a hotel. Our Alice, Jasper, and Bella are in a hotel. They're made it to, was it Jacksonville?
No, they're in Arizona. They're in Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona. Okay.
Jacksonville's where mom lives now.
Okay.
Yeah. Phoenix is where they were from.
Alice has a vision that he's going to be at a room full of mirrors, and they draw it, and she says that that's where she went to a dance Bella studio as a kid. She's like, it had the arch just like that and everything. And then Rosalie, Emmett go back to Forks to protect Charlie, and that they're on their way to, you know, come protect her. Mm-hmm. They're downstairs checking out. Bella's upstairs packing to leave, and she gets a call, and her mom's on the other line saying, Bella, where are you? And you hear James on the other end saying it wasn't hard to look up her school records, and it's too easy to find her.
So,
and then he comes up with the idea that he wants to meet her at her own dance studio.
So he's going to kill her mom if she doesn't come.
Yeah, exactly.
To the ballet studio.
So,
and she can't tell the vampires.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Bella sneaks off without them, which
makes absolutely no sense. Is that what you're about to say? Yes. First off, because of Alice, she wouldn't have been able to just sneak off and disappear. The other thing is, they're so much faster than her. Like, they would have been able to run and catch up with her immediately.
And this is where we cut back to the voiceover from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I've never given how much thought to how I would die, blah, blah, blah.
I think in the book, like, Bella, I don't remember how she, like, tricks Alice and gets away. It still doesn't completely make sense, but it's a little bit, they're going to fly her somewhere, and then she's like in the airport, and then she's going to the bathroom, but then she leaves out of a different entrance or something like that. I don't know. It still doesn't make a lot of sense, but at least it makes more sense than this. Her just, jink, off I go, and Alice is like, okay, bye.
We see that Bella's armed with mace before she goes in there. Inside, we hear the exact same message we heard on the phone. Bella, where are you? And she finds a video recording of her as a dancer when her mom lost track of where Bella was. Mm-hmm. And so we find out it was a trick.
Mm-hmm. He never had her mom. So she went for no reason.
Yeah. James wants to make a film of their time together because he's creepy as well.
Yeah.
He breaks her foot, makes her scream on camera and tells her, like, Tell Edward to avenge you. And she's like, no, Edward, don't. And then Edward arrives and a big battle happens between them.
Yeah, I don't like this.
You don't like the battle?
No, I don't like it. But I understand it, okay? Because it would be boring otherwise.
For a movie.
Yeah, of course. But Edward gets beaten up so much in this movie. Not that much. Sure. And there's no way he can read minds.
Yeah.
So when James goes to like punch him or whatever, he would dodge it. Like, you know what I mean? There's absolutely no way that James would be able to beat Edward up. But again, like, what are you going to do? Have him come in and then just be like, voila, okay, you're dead. Yeah. So, all right, fine.
Sure. So they're fighting. James is able to bite Bella. And then Alice, Emmett, Jasper, Carlisle all show up. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a moment where James says, though, you showed up alone because you're the fastest. Mm-hmm. And then
not fast enough to dodge punches that you can mind read, though, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not. And then Carlisle calls Edward over and...
Oh, yeah. Did you mention that he bit Bella?
I did.
James bit Bella.
Right. So you can see her convulsion in the ground, like she's going to turn. Mm-hmm. And so Alice, Emmett, and Jasper take over killing James. Alice grabs him by the head and like twists it around like she's ripping it off.
Alice breaks his neck. Yeesh.
And
Edward bites him in the neck.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
They start ripping up the hardwood floor. Uh-huh. They start a fire and they roast him right there. Mm-hmm. Find out Edward has a choice here. He can either try to suck out the poison or let her turn.
Yeah.
Because she's dying already.
It's unclear in the movie to me why Carlisle can't just suck out the poison.
Well, I think he wants it to be Edward's choice. Carlisle says that Alice has already had a vision that she would be with you. You know, like.
Yeah.
So I think he's okay with him. Her turning.
In the book, he's like, I can't do it because I have to stop her bleeding. He literally can't do both at once.
Oh, sure.
In this, he's just kind of sitting there that's it. He's like saying, I'm fine with her being a vampire. So if you want her to not be a vampire, you've got to stop it.
Sure. And then
he trusts Edward so much that he's like, she's not going to kill her, I guess.
Well, he also makes it a point to like talk him out of killing her, because as he starts sucking her blood, he doesn't want to stop because it's the best thing he's ever tasted.
Yeah.
That Bella blood.
Delicious.
Oh, man. Now she's in the hospital. She has a broken leg.
She survived.
She survived. Okay.
Edward did not kill her.
Edward did not kill her. Great. In the hospital, she has a broken leg. Her mom's there and Edward's pretending to be asleep, which is so funny.
The story they give for what happened to Bella is bananas.
Carlisle and Edward went to go find her to talk her out of leaving Forks.
Uh-huh.
And at the hotel that they were at, she falls down two flights of stairs through glass window. Outside the building.
I think if you fell through two flights of stairs, you would break a glass. What is this glass window? This is like a...
I don't know.
Like a... such a...
sugar glass.
Thin glass window.
Oh, man.
And everyone's like, yep, sounds like Bella. Because she's klutzy.
She is klutzy.
She's so klutzy.
Like everybody believes it's like the perfect story. Then she asks for her dad. So her mom goes to get her dad. And Edward tells her that James is dead and that Victoria took off.
Yeah, I think it's funny that Edward was just pretending to sleep the whole time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's just like, that's too funny. Edward wants Bella to move to Jacksonville and that, you know, he doesn't want to hurt her anymore. And she says that she can't be apart from Edward.
You can't leave me.
And he goes, where else am I going to go? And I'm like, I'm thinking here, dude, have you seen the next one? You said you're never going to go. Keep your word.
You can't leave me. I mean, I understand this is a fake movie, okay, about quote soulmates or whatever, but if somebody talked to me like this, I'd be like, you need mental help, because this is like a weird obsession.
Margo, don't leave
the podcast. It's unhealthy.
You can't leave the podcast, Margo. Oh, man. Okay, all right. So we cut to Edward dressed really nice, sitting next to Charlie. Edward's holding water. Charlie's got a beer. Bella comes down with a cast on her leg, and she has a dress that Alice lent her.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie tells her as they leave that he put a new pepper spray in the bag.
She's going to the prom.
She needs pepper spray. Jacob crashes the prom. He's kind of dressed nice, like he's going to go there, but he's not there to go there.
Kind of. It's funny. He has like an untucked shirt and tie on.
Right. And then he says that his dad, Billy, paid him $20 to come give her a message. It's not from him. And she goes, okay, tell me. He says that you need to leave Edward or something like that, right?
We're watching you or something like that. I don't know.
And she goes, okay, you deliver the message. You better pay up.
He's like, okay.
And then I think they hug and Edward shows up.
Yeah.
And
they like narrow their eyes at each other.
Yeah, right.
They glare at each other.
And this is where he says the line of, you know, I leave you alone for 2 minutes and the wolves descend. And then we get this line for the prom photos.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice how annoying this line would be?
No.
Because normally, like...
why are there so many people at prom?
Right. Well, not that I went to mine. But you wait in line and then you go take a picture in front of a backdrop.
Uh-huh.
But this one is supposed to show the open, beautiful sky.
Uh-huh.
The problem is the line's behind you.
Oh,
so the person, the couple getting the picture are always going to have the next couple behind them in their photo.
I don't know. That's, maybe they're tilting it somehow.
It's dumb.
I didn't notice that. Oh, man. What a great point.
Oh, let's see here.
I did go to prom, but I didn't take a photo, so okay. I don't remember how it was.
They see Mike and Jessica. Jessica's all happy to see them. And Bella compliments Jessica's cleavage.
Yeah.
She's like, good job. Your cleavage is great. Like through sign language. Then they go out and dance in the gazebo. She stands on his feet. There's two other couples there. But when they start dancing, they go back. The other two couples go back inside.
Yeah. Everybody leaves. Alone. Everybody leaves. They're like, oh, they need a romantic moment. I guess. Everybody leaves.
Bella asks why he didn't just turn her, and Bella says that she wants to be a vampire, but Edward says he won't do it.
I know, like, come on, man.
He goes down to like she says that she'd be ready to do it now. He goes down like he's gonna and then he just kisses her on the neck.
Yeah, it's like,
and then he says the line, "Is it not enough to have a long, happy life with me?" And she goes, "Yeah, for now." And then they're unaware that Victoria is secretly watching them, plotting revenge for her lover's death.
There's absolutely no way that Alice wouldn't see that and Edward wouldn't hear her.
I know, it doesn't make sense. But then
it's foreshadowing for the next film.
Yeah, but she's not in it.
They recast her, but Victoria is in it.
Bryce Dallas Howard?
Yeah. Yeah, Victoria's in it in the next
one. I mean, I like Bryce Dallas Howard, but I was just...
I wonder why she wasn't in it.
I think I read an article somewhere that they didn't think that her physique gave off the impression that she could have battles. Oh. So they wanted a thinner person to be like a battle person. But
maybe they just want some more famous.
But I don't know. The hair didn't seem to fit Bryce Dallas Howard's character. I don't know. I was annoyed.
Whatever.
Victoria walks away and she's got that smile on her, or 15th Step by Radiohead plays.
Yep.
And then the credits switches to...
Yeah.
no, but we get the Linkin Park song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is Leave Out All the Rest. Mm-hmm. When the time comes, forget the wrongs that I have done. No. And then the last song that plays is Decode by Paramore.
Uh-huh. Great.
How did we get here?
Great song.
When I used to know you so well. Yeah. A little bit of trivia. Did you know that there are 7 movies that were named Twilight before this movie came out?
No, I did not.
The first one was a 1940 German film. Oh, man.
So what did you think about this movie?
I enjoyed it. I remember going to see all of them in theater. I've read all the books. And I went to see them all in theater. I think they were fun.
I also have read all the books and seen all the movies. This movie surprised me when I first saw it of how good it actually is. I know we've been like kind of making fun of it.
Sure.
But it's pretty good. I was like expecting, okay, this is like kind of the story. Again, like not a lot happens.
Right.
Like basically it's just, oh, why is Edward ignoring me? Oh, why is it? You know, like the whole, it's like all inner monologue, like the whole book until the end. And even in the end, like when they're having their like fight with Victoria and James, like Belle's not there. Belle's like in a hotel room just like moping that Edward's not around. So I'm like, I don't know. It's really set a tone for the whole series that was kind of, I don't know. I've lost my train of thought, but I was surprised. Like I thought it was going to be a train wreck and it wasn't a train wreck. I thought number two was a train wreck in maybe a good way. It was funny. I remember when I saw the second one in theaters, I burst out laughing at multiple points that were not funny. Right. So
I was annoyed in the second one, by the scene where just Span ran her room and months passed and seasons passed and she didn't move for months.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know that's not what was happening.
She did move, but.
But.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think if you're looking at the merits of the movie versus like how enjoyable the I'm not saying how enjoyable the movies are, because I've been on record to say the last two. It's like I enjoyed the last two movies the best, I think.
Sure.
They are bonkers.
Yeah.
But I think if we say which one's the best movie, like just on its merits of a movie and not how like ridiculous it is or how much you like Twilight. I think the first one is the best one.
Oh, I think the third one's the best one.
Mm-mm.
I like I love the battle. I love the werewolves working with vampires together.
I agree with you that it's not the most fun one and it's not the one that I would like to watch the most.
You're saying quality film? I think it's
just the quality of the film is the best, first one.
Oh, man. See, for me, the soundtrack of the third one is really good for me.
And I do like the soundtrack.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm having trouble differentiating what is a quality film before one that I just enjoy so much.
Yeah.
Because I would rewatch the third one over and over more than any of the others. Although I do like the battle, fake battle at the end of the fourth one too.
I love that last one.
But people in the theater.
Every time I watch that fourth one, I think, how did this get made? It's so bonkers. And I love the thought of somebody going in there without reading the books. I love it. That would have been so fun.
So I remember watching the fifth one on like opening weekend.
Yeah.
And people left the theater when Carlisle's head gets ripped off.
No.
Because they thought it was a real. They thought, what? They changed the book this much? I'm out of here. They were pissed off. They left.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was all a vision that Alice was showing the Volturi.
That was a genius move.
It was smart. Everybody that wanted a fight scene got the fight scene.
Yeah.
But everybody wanted to stay pure to the book.
Yeah.
Got the ending that the book had.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the book was boring. I mean, like you're gearing up for, I mean, not, the, I mean, the book wasn't boring, but that part, it was like they're gearing up for this huge battle and then, never mind. We're not going to have it. But yeah, in the movie, you get to have the battle and you get to eat your cake too because nobody actually died. No one actually dies.
Yeah. And it was fun to see a lot of the Volturi die in the ways they die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though it didn't happen.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
All right. Anything else to say?
No. I just want to say that, yeah, Twilight's fun.
It is fun.
I'm not ashamed to say that I love it.
All right. I'm not ashamed to say I love it either. That's too funny. All right. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye.